بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين جل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله we have توفيق to continue our study of إنسان كامل perfect man by آيات الله مطهري رحمة الله عليه. We have some remainder from the previous lesson and inshallah then we start with a new subject. Last week we talked about the balance that we need to strike between values. Ayatollah Mutahhari repeats also in the next lesson that we have two types of problems or deviations, or as he calls, enhiraf, that happen in human societies. One is sometimes those which are against human values, those vicious ideas and practices and characteristics, they fight human values and virtues and virtuous practices, and they want to take over, or sometimes they take over to some extent. This is one problem. But he says this is not as common as the second problem, because human beings in large, they love values and virtues. The main problem, he says, is that there would be lack of balance. One value takes over as if nothing else matters, or almost nothing else matters. This is a problem. This is what we discussed last week, that if, for example, freedom, which is important, or ibadah, which is important, or love, which is important, or serving people, which is important, but if they come along with other values and you would have a harmonious and comprehensive attitude, that would be great. But if one of them takes over and we exaggerate about it, that's a problem. So in the end of that lesson, he refers to Nahjul Balagha, and we talked about it. We said that how in Nahjul Balagha we have clear references to all those values and not just one of them. And then he ends with personality of Amir al-Mu'minin himself. One of the things that Amir al-Mu'minin has been known of is that he was a person that is what we call Jami'ul Azdad, in the sense that he has qualities that may look contradictory or opposite, and very rare to find them in the same person. Sayyid al-Radi, Rahmatullah alayhi, the one who compiled Nahjul Balagha, the brother of Sayyid al-Muqtada, about 1,000 years ago, he says in the introduction to Nahjul Balagha that one of the things that I always discuss and mention to my friends, and they are always surprised, is that how sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in every subject is amazing. As if Ali had no other concern. When we talk about Ibadah, we find his words about ibadah magnificent. When it is about the zuhd, ascetic life, it's magnificent, as if this person is just zahid. When he talks about ibadah, it's as if he's just abid, he's a worshipper, he's a zahid only. When we talk about aql, he's as if he's just a philosopher. When you talk about governance, it's as if he's just a, you know, governor who is concerned with justice. When he deals with qada, judgment among people, he's like a person who is just thinking about qada. When he gives fatwa, he's like a, you know, only mufti, a chief mufti. So he manages to excel in every area. But the good thing is that he has also other things. He is not a person who is single-minded or single, you know, oriented. One of the scholars, Safiyuddin Hilli, in the 8th century, he says, جُمِعَتْ فِي صِفَاتِكَ الْأَذَّادُ فَلِهَذَا عَزَّتْ لَكَ الْأَنْدَادُ. Very beautiful. He says, in your attributes, opposite things have come together. جُمِعَتْ فِي صِفَاتِكَ الْأَذَّادُ. أَذَّاد is the plural for ذَد. Means opposite. So opposite thing, contradictory thing, conflicting things, which look to people they are conflicting, they have come together. Being very kind and soft, and at the same time being very brave and a great, you know, person when it comes to battles. People think this cannot be together. But because in you these have come together, فَلِهَذَا عَزَّتْ لَكَ الْأَنْدَادُ. أَنْدَاد is plural for ند. ند means similar. عَزَّ عَزِيز means rare. One of the meanings of عَزِيز, عَزِيزُ الْوُجُود, means something that is very rare. So you have not many similars. If there are similars for Amirul Mu'mineen, would be in the rank of the prophets and, you know, imams. Although to find equal is more difficult, but similarities are there. Zahidun haakimun halimun shuja'un nasikun fatikun faqirun jawad. He brings some of these qualities. He is Zahid, but at the same time, Hakim. For a governor and for a judge that is dealing with, you know, all the worldly affairs, to be Zahid is not easy. And to be Halim, very patient, but Shuja. All these qualities, to be nasik, to be fatik, nasik in, you know, doing practices and ibadah, and at the same time to be, you know, able to, you know, be brave and fight, to be poor, faqir, he chose a simple life, not that he couldn't generate money, he was generating wealth, but he was not spending on himself, faqir, very poor, he decided to live like poor people. Jawad, but he was very generous. He was, whatever he was gaining, he was giving out. So what we talked about has example in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his true followers like Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Now we move on to the next lesson. The next lesson is about pain, human pain and suffering. Before we go into this discussion, he has an introduction. He said, He says that there are differences among different thinkers, different philosophers about nature of human beings. What is the nature? What is the reality of human beings? In large and in general, we can divide views into two major sets or categories. There are people that, despite their own differences, they have materialistic approach. They say human beings are just, you know, a material being, a physical being, like the rest of nature. And there are people that they say human beings are not just material. They have spirit, and the spiritual side of human being is actually more important. So there are two general views, but it is interesting that both groups agree that there are human values which are not materialistic. You cannot find them in animals, in plants, etc. They all talk about human values, like knowledge, like love, like, I don't know, kindness, etc. So it is interesting that no one, no real thinker is happy to live like just animals or operate at the level of just physical body and just, you know, eating and drinking, etc. Sa'di, famous poet, he says, "Tan adami sharif ast be jan adamiyat." Tan adami sharif ast be jan adamiyat. Na hamin libas zibast nishan adamiyat. Human body has honor because of human soul, human spirit. This beautiful dress that we have, our body is like a dress. This is not the sign of Adamiyat. This is not the sign of being a human being. The soul is the sign and criterion for Adamiyat. Agar Adami به چشم است و زبان و گوش و بینی چه میان نقش دیوار و میان آدمیت. If being a human is a matter of this physical eye or tongue or ear or nose, what's the difference between drawing these things on a wall and being a human being? Maybe they can make a statue like this, or, you know, even nowadays, you know, they can make, you know, with soft tissues, maybe sound like a human being. Or a human body is dead. It's respected, but it's not with humanity. Humanity is the spirit which has departed from body. The problem of materialistic approach is that they want to say our body is the main thing, is the criterion for humanity. Maybe I lose part of my body, maybe my body is burnt. This is not affecting my soul. So if it was just body when we are born, then we didn't need to worry that much. We are already with all these organs. Why we need to learn, why we need to equip ourselves with virtues, etc. So this is a point which is agreed by all the thinkers, that humanity is more than just physical things, even if they are materialistic. They say, they talk about human values a lot. You see, even today, many people talk about humanism. Even some people want to take it to the extent of being like a religion that would, you know, have all implications for our life. It would be enough to be just humanistic in this particular sense. So there are values. Then he says that these values, unfortunately, sometimes are either forgotten or undermined, or sometimes they are exaggerated and they take over. These two problems that we said about deviations at the beginning. With this introduction, he starts the discussion about pain and suffering. He says, all human values, after careful examination, can be summarized in one thing. This is what we have in Irfan, in our own mystical terminology, we have this. Also, this is what we have in contemporary thought. They talk about human pain. One of the differences between human beings and other creatures, other beings, is this issue that we have pain, or you can say we have some sacred pain. It is true that animals also have pain, although Descartes had the idea that animals have no pain, but this is not accepted that much. We believe that animals also have some pain, but their pain is physical. Or even if it is psychological, because we in Islamic philosophy believe that animals also have soul, but their pain is very limited. Pain of an animal is limited to the current moment and to the things which are very close. The maximum is, for example, for their children or family or, you know, members of the same, for example, you know, herd, etc. But when it comes to human beings have diverse types of pain, and in a sense, unlimited types and quantities of pain and suffering. And Urafa, and also even, you know, some contemporary Western thinkers, they very much have a fixed significance and importance to this. He says, maybe you think pain is a bad thing. For example, you know, I have a headache, or I have, you know, toothache, or for example, whatever it is, bad, you know, I have fever. Or if someone is, you know, hungry and has, you know, suffering, someone is thirsty. It says, no, this is not right. What causes pain? That's not the same as the pain itself. If I am ill and because of that I have pain, illness is bad, not the pain. If I have, for example, cold and I have fever, fever is not bad. It comes to my understanding, to my, even the pain that I have, this is a sign, a symptom that helps me to find out that I need to look for treatment. The worst illnesses are those that have no pain, like cancer at the beginning, or even sometimes up to very late stage, there may be no pain. And sometimes when pain starts, it's already too late. Or you have missed great chance of treatment. If you from the first day had pain, it was much better. So we are not talking about reasons or causes for pain and suffering, which might be in many cases things that we don't accept. We don't want them to be there. For example, we don't want people to be poor. Poverty is not what, you know, we want. But the pain that you have when you think about poor people, this pain is sacred. It doesn't mean that there has to be poverty so that you have pain. No. This is a reality that has happened and often happens. But your pain, your concern, this is very important. So this distinction has to be made between what causes pain and pain. Maulavi Rumi says, حسرت و زاری که در بیماری است or در بیماری است, because بیماری means illness, but it can be also one بیمار, means one patient. وقت بیماری همه بیداری است. حسرت و زاری که در بیماری است or در بیماری است, وقت بیماری همه بیداری است. پس بدان این اصل را ای اصل جو, هر کرا درد است او برده است بو. It's very important. He says this, you know, pain, this suffering that is in an ill person when he is ill or she is ill, it's bidari, is awakeness, it's a matter of being alert and conscious. So learn this principle, this asl. Har kera dard ast, u burde ast bu. Whoever has pain, he has understood. Bu means a smell. Means he has understood the smell and he has the fragrance of humanity. Har ke u bidar tar, پر درد تر. هر که او آگاه تر, رخ زرد تر. Whoever is more awake has more pain. Today, look at the situation in the world. Who has more pain? Some people have no pain. They are relaxed. They have what to eat and drink, you know, they're relaxed. Some people have pain, you know, because there's poverty, etc., you know, injustice in their city or their country, etc. Some people, when they look at humanity and what humanity as a whole and in each parts and pieces of humanity is going through, lots of pain and suffering. And the greatest pain is in the heart of Imam Zaman, because he is aware of all these, you know, sufferings and problems that we have in the world. Of course, he knows also the positive things. He knows that there are solutions. He knows that there are good people. But also he is very sad that sometimes, you know, with despite having, you know, easy solution, we don't work together, we don't, you know, get united, we waste our time or resources, etc. In any case, har ke u bidar tar, pur dard tar. Whoever is more awake has more pain. Har ke u agah tar, rokh zard tar. Whoever is more aware, his face is more yellow, means looks more pale. And then he says that, he, you know, continues, and he says, if you have no pain, this is bad thing. You have to understand the problems and feel sad about them. Some people complain about aql. They say, you know, aql causes suffering.
because through Aql, you know, we try to understand, you know, problems, we analyze, you know, etc. So some people have made such poems. Dushmane jaan man ast aql man o hoosh man. Kaash gushade nabood chashm man o goosh man. Enemy of my soul, my spirit is my intellect and my intelligence. I wish my eyes were not opened, my ears were not open to hear and understand and suffer. Or someone else says, عاقل مباش تا غم دیوانگان خوری. Don't be a rational and wise person so that you suffer for people who are mad, for people who are not عاقل, you are not intelligent. If you are عاقل, you would suffer when you see some people are not عاقل. So he said, don't be عاقل. دیوانه باش تا غم تو عاقلان خورند. Try to be like mad people, unintelligent people, so that intelligent people suffer for you. Not that you suffer for people who are not intelligent. Okay, these things are being said, but these are not right. Aql is very important. Understanding is very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, صَدِيقُ كُلِّ مْرَئٍ أَقْلُهُ وَعَدُوُّهُ جَهْلُهُ. The friend, good friend of every person is his or her aql, and the enemy is jahl, ignorance. Not to know is not a solution, or not to act wisely is not a solution. We have to actually improve all the time our understanding. Of course, not by being nosy, not by losing control. Not, you know, from the morning till night, we just read bad news or share bad news. No, that's another thing. That's a practical policy that we have to take. But what is important is that to know in general, not always, is better than not to know. And to be intelligent and wise and understanding and alert is better than the opposite. And to have a large heart that beats for all human beings, and not only human beings, even creatures like animals, like plants. If forests are disappearing, for example, shouldn't we be concerned? Even not for this time, for future, we have to be concerned. Then he says, according to mystics, according to Urafa, the main pain of human being, which is sacred, very important, is the pain of separation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even angels don't have this pain. We have this pain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blown into us such a spirit that he attributes to himself. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِمْ مِنْ رُوحِي. We have some special affinity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, when we come to this world, we feel as strangers. We don't feel that much at home. In a sense, we feel at home, because we know that this is the world created by Allah. It has lots of, you know, beautiful points. But we are not feeling 100% at home when we are in dunya, because we belong to a world which is even greater than this world. And we want to be in closer relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we have suffering in this world. And the only thing that in this world can give us comfort and tranquility is remembrance of Allah, which is active way of connecting ourselves to Him, like, you know, plugging. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. This is reflected in beautiful analogies in mystical literature. For example, one analogy that Rumi starts actually in Masnavi with that is the analogy of the reed. بشنو از نی چون حکایت می کند و از جدائی ها شکایت می کند. Listen to the reed. This, you know, instrument that especially shepherds use to, you know, make music. He says, listen to the reed when complains about separations. He wants to say that this, you know, when you blow into this reed, something else comes out. Another voice comes, or sound comes. This sound is the sound of reed complaining that I used to be in another place. I used to be, for example, in the jungle, in the forest, and they cut off me from my roots. کز نیستان تا مرا ببریده اند از نفیرم مرد و زن نالیده اند. نیستان is where the reed is grown. So it says, since they have cut me off from there, means I'm disconnected from my main environment, original environment and roots, etc. Now all men and women are crying when they listen to my cry. Sine khaham. He says, I want a chest that I can complain about this separation and how much I'm eager to go back to my origin. This is one analogy. Like us, that we are separated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we want to go back to Him. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Another analogy that Rumi has is about elephant. Elephants in that time used to come only from India. It seems that they knew, of course, because of the story of Abraha, etc., from Africa, you know. But the main, I think, source was India for them, because it was closer, etc. So he says, Pil bayad ta chu khusbad oustan khab binad khitte hindustan. خر ندیند هیچ هندوستان به خواب خرز هندوستان نکرده است اغتراب. Very beautiful. He says, compare an elephant with a donkey. When donkey sleeps, doesn't have dream of going to India. Because donkey has not come from India. Doesn't know what is India. But an elephant, when has dream of going back to Hindustan, to India. And therefore, if an elephant is outside India, is gharib, igtirab, is a stranger. This is another example, like us. Because we are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only thing that gives us comfort is to be connected to Him and go back to Him. Otherwise, we suffer, and sometimes we don't know why we suffer. We think, you know, I suffer because I don't have, you know, more money. So I try to have more money, but I see my problem is not solved. I want to have more money, but my problem is not solved. I think I don't have power, but then I see, even if I have power, my problem is not solved. If you are clever, you realize that power is not a solution. If you are not clever, you want to have more power. So this is the pain. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, in that beautiful, you know, incident that you must have heard, he goes with Kumail ibn Ziyad al-Nakhai, the same person who narrated the dua Kumail from Amir al-Mu'minin. He took him outside city to desert, Sahra. Falamma ashara tanaffasa su'ada. Then when he went outside, he had a deep breathing with some kind of, you know, pain. And then he said, Ya Kumail ibn Ziyad, inna hadhihi al-qulub aw'iyatun fa khayruha aw'aha. O Kumail, these hearts are like containers. The best of them are those that can contain more and better, larger, and keep. فَحْفَظْ عَنِّي مَا أَقُولُ لَكَ. So preserve, not only just memorize and preserve what I tell you. And then, you know, that beautiful hadith starts that Amir al-Mu'minin says, people are three. عَالِمٌ رَبَّانِي وَمُتَعَلِّمٌ عَلَى سَبِيلِ نَجَاتٍ وَحَمَجٌ رَعَانٍ. People are either godly scholars or seekers of knowledge who are on the path of salvation, or hamajun ra, people who are not enjoying any stability, any principle. They are not connected with a godly scholar or godly scholars. Atba'u kull na'iq. From everywhere a cry comes, they go towards it. From everywhere wind is blowing, they go with the wind or the current or fashion or majority, etc. And then he says that he is very sad that there are not many people that he can share with them what he has in his heart. But then he says, of course, it's not that there is absolutely no one. Because Allahumma bala la takhlul ard min qa'imin lillah bihujjah imma zahiran mashhura aw khaifan maghmura. And then he continues and says that Allah in every time has some people that, you know, they are very connected. حجم بهم العلم على حقيقة البصيرة وباشروا روح اليقين واستلانوا ما استوعره المترفون وأنسوا بما استوحش منه الجاهلون. Yes, there are people that knowledge has attacked. That means knowledge has gone towards them and overwhelmed them. Ala haqiqat al-basira, with the reality of insight. This knowledge is not theories, that sometimes these theories even confuse. This knowledge is knowledge of light and insight. They have touched the spirit of yaqeen. Basharu ruh al-yaqeen. Basharu comes from bashar. Bashar is called, human beings are bashar because their skin is visible. Bashara is their skin. Mubashara means when you are very closely involved in something as your skin is touching. Basharu ruh al-yaqeen. Wastalanu mastaw'arahu. What people who are after, you know, worldly pleasure find it difficult, they are very used to it. What jahilun feel very, you know, bad and they feel lonely about it, they feel very acquainted with it and comfortable with it. So this type of pain that Amirul Mu'minin has, this is a sacred pain. Pain for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pain for not having, you know, many qualified people to share knowledge, pain for many other things that all can be summarized under pain for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Ayatollah Mutahhari says also, Rumi has a story, another analogy actually, but in the form of a story, that there was a man who used to pray, to worship, to whisper, saying Allah, Ya Allah, etc. Iblis wanted to stop him and said, why you are so much, you know, talking to God and saying Allah, Allah, he's not listening to you. If you knock any door, they will finally open for you the door. But have you ever heard God answering to you? You keep calling him and knocking his door, but he's not opening for you. So this person was unfortunately deceived by Iblis and couldn't, you know, or at least was, you know, confused. It's better to say was confused by Iblis. Then in dream, he heard that why was stopped. Your dua, your munajat, saying Ya Allah, Ya Allah, was labbaik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why you are looking for another labbaik? He says, Nekan Allah to labbaik mas. Isn't it that your Ya Allah is our labbaik? An niyazu suzu dardat peykemas. This is about pain. That feeling of eagerness, that pain that you had for, you know, reaching us, that was our peyk, that was our messenger for you. So when you have dua, this by itself is a great thing. And Ayatollah Muhtari refers to this sentence from Dua al-Kumail. Allahumma ghafir li al-dhunub allati tahbisu al-dua. Please forgive for me those sins which block dua. One way of understanding this is not to be able to make dua. Because another way is to say you can make dua but it's not answered. But he says, one way or one point is you are asking Allah not to be deprived of the blessing of being able to make dua. Because dua by itself is a kind of achievement that you can call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is a discussion about pain for people. We talked about pain for being far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wanting to join him. But we have also pain for people. Pain for people who are ill, pain for people who are poor, pain for orphans, pain for, I don't know, misplaced people, etc. Are these independent? Are these, for example, to be accepted together or one of them? Or what is the relation from Islamic perspective? He says, from Islamic perspective, we have pain for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you can say pain for separation. And we have also pain for people and creatures, but they are not coming in the same level. Pain, which is divine, which is for us and our relation with Allah, is the main one. And then because of that, you become such a caring and considerate person that you suffer when you see people are in trouble, or even animals are in trouble, or birds, or, you know, plants, etc. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had great pain for suffering of people, to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Azizun alayhima anittum, harisun alaykum. He's very concerned about what happens to you. He's very much concerned about your situation. We know the story of Rasulullah, the story of Amirul Mu'mineen, other Imams, how much they suffered when people had difficulties, orphans, etc., how much they, by them own hands, tried to reduce the pain of people. But this all originates from their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they have become godly, they have become true servants of Allah, they have tried to mirror the love of Allah, then they have, you know, acted like this. So there is no conflict, there is no contradiction. Actually, one comes from the other. And then he, because it was in the months of Ramadan, close to the martyrdom anniversary of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he mentions the stories of Amir al-Mu'mineen and how he treated that widowed lady with the orphan children, or his letter to Uthman ibn Hunayf complaining that he accepted to be present in a gathering that only rich people were invited, etc. So I think, alhamdulillah, the main ideas in this lesson of Ayatollah Mutahhari have been explained. And we have a little remainder, which is very important. And I don't want to rush, so inshallah, we would talk about it, inshallah, in the next session, bi-ithnillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Jazakallah, Aga.
Thank you.
Another very inspiring talk, mashallah. So now the floor is open for Q&A. So you as a participant may hit a raise hand option if you want to pose the question. Inshallah, Dr. Shumali will address your question. At the moment, I cannot see any raised hand. Okay, so we got Brother Tabish there. So Brother Tabish.
Assalamu
alaikum, Aga. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, brother.
Can you hear me? Yeah, that's good. I've just listened to a lecture online. It's from like a known alim in Irfan. And he mentioned something which is quite complicated, at least for my little mind. And what he said is that when Allah says in Quran that aduni istajib lakum, like ask me and I'll give. And he quote an example that when shaitan asked Allah to give me time till the day of judgment so that I can deceive your people, even though it was like a, you know, a very negative kind of request, Allah granted that request. So the concept he mentioned is that when we are asking for prayers, our body, our soul, and our nafs are not in complete harmony asking that thing from Allah. And if we, like all three components are in complete harmony while asking Allah, then it is incumbent upon Allah to give us whatever we are asking for. So is this a correct concept or is like completely misunderstood by me?
Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah alayhi says that because Allah says, Ud'uni astajib lakum, if real dua happens, response is there. If there is no answer, it's because dua has not really taken form. Maybe I have said something, but I have not really wanted it. So I think what you say refers to this idea that if it's a true dua, means something that comes from your conscience and from your heart, you really want it, you are honest about it, you will get the answer. But when you say you get the answer, it doesn't mean that you get exactly what you wanted. Because there are also other factors. Maybe you get what you wanted quickly. Maybe you get what you wanted
after some time, maybe Allah will give you something better. It's not that Allah always gives you what you wanted immediately, because he has to consider also lots of other factors and the maslaha of everyone. And at the same time, each one has to be considered. But definitely, he would answer. The way that I can explain, maybe a little bit different, but it's compatible, is I can say in this way, that every servant of Allah, when he calls him, he would hear. But when we request something, then it's a matter of whether he gives or not, depending on who is requesting and what he is requesting. We have in the hadith of Qurban Nawafil this distinction. At the end of hadith says, end of this part. In da'ani ajabtuhu wa in sa'alani a'taytuhu. So we have dua and ijaba, su'al and i'ta. So dua means to call him. Like for example, I call someone and he answers. I say, Salamun alaykum. He says, Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. We greet, etc. Then I say, I have a request. Then if he is kind and my request is wise, he would give me. If it's not wise, he would tell me that this is not your maslaha. I can, you know, give you something better. So, in da'ani ajabtuhu wa in sa'alani a'taytuhu. Therefore, sometimes you may just call Allah. You don't need to always ask. You may say, Ya Allah, this is dua. Ya Allah is dua. And he answers. Then you may ask. And if you really honestly ask, and this is your maslaha, Allah will give you either the same thing quickly or the same thing after some time or something much better. And on the day of judgment, when you see what Allah has given you instead of du'as that were not given in dunya, requests which were not granted in dunya, for the most part, if it was in a worldly matter, if it was a religious matter, no. But if it was worldly matter, you wish none of your du'as were answered in dunya or granted in dunya. Because he gives you much more.
Next is Brother Jawad in queue. Over to you, Brother Jawad.
Assalamu alaikum, Qibla.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
I have to, I think there are one or two questions. So let me be, first I would like to ask you about the Nahjul Balagha reference when you are talking about the Jamul Azdad. Which Nahjul Balagha part you are referring? You to very briefly talk about the Nahjul Balagha. You give something. I didn't get a sense that what part you are actually talking.
In the introduction of Sayyid Razi to Nahjul Balagha.
So introduction.
He talks about this fact that how Amirul Mu'mineen had different qualities. Yep. And he says, whenever I talk about these different qualities, yep, of Amirul Mu'mineen to my friends, they are surprised.
Okay. Yep. Now coming to the topic, as you were talking and I was thinking and I was writing over here, I've highlighted few things in front of me, and there is a pain in Tawbah, and there is a pain in separation from Allah, like a Qurbat-e Khuda. And then there is a pain that the suffering of your guna. I'm personally feeling that there is a level of pain. And how I can bring that sincerity, or anyone, I'm saying myself, but anyone, how anyone can bring that sincerity which comes to the istijabat dua? I appreciate your answer on that.
So it's not about pain, it's about sincerity?
Yes, I'm seeing that there is a level of pains coming, but reaching up to the maximum pain where it comes to the istijabat. How I really bringing that sincerity into my, so its level of pain, how come? I don't know. I'm a little bit, I can say that I'm a little bit confused to reach to the point of sincerity to where I can bring my, what you said, the pain up to that level where I can say, or Allah can say, in fact, okay, this is now sincere. Let's accept that.
Yeah, actually, pain is a sign of sincerity. You know, suppose, for example, sometimes we hire a person for a charity company or, you know, charity institute, you know. We are working, for example, with the people who are refugees, for example. Sometimes this person just takes this as a job. He could do any other thing. His job is this. Okay? So he's very relaxed. He tries to be very efficient, to be, you know, good manager, for example, but doesn't have any pain. Sometimes we have a person that even before this job, he was already doing this thing with all his own little money and, you know, with his little power, he was doing this. And now he is grateful that he is able to do this on a larger level. And he's very passionate about this. Even outside office hours, you know, he tries to do something. This is pain and sincerity. If you are a sincere doctor, you should have pain when you see someone is ill. Of course, you have to manage, because if you don't manage, then you become depressed. You know, I'm not encouraging, you know, to let your pains, you know, just grow out of control. But you cannot, you know, when you meet someone who is ill, feel, you know, nothing. Just think that, you know, this is a patient, you know, this is my job, you know, whether this person is okay or not okay, you know, shouldn't affect me. No, you have to have it. Or for example, an alim. If an alim has concern for, you know, tabligh, for education of people, helping people, whether he has a position, he doesn't have position, people ask him, people don't ask him, people appreciate, don't appreciate, he tries to help. This is natural. This is sincere. This comes out of pain and suffering when there is problem. So one element that is very important in our du'as is that we have to be sincere and honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want something, you should show in your life that you have moved to that direction. If I don't, for example, study, I don't take lessons, I don't read, and they say, Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma, this is not honest and sincere. But if I am working hard to learn, and then I say, Rabbi zidni ilma, or for example, if I am working against poverty, and I say, Allahumma aghni kulla faqir, Allah listens to me. But if I am not helping one person that I can, at least two people that I can, and they say, Allahumma aghni kulla faqir, Allah says, you are not sincere. You don't help even people you can, and then you ask me to help all the poor people. So sincerity and pain are very much connected. One can, you know, be taken as a sign for the other.
Asantum. The next is Sister Farhat.
Ji, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Mashallah, mashallah. Very, very spiritually highlighting the lecture. I must commend you. May Allah give you long life and raise your darajat. Ameen. I have a question regarding the pain you have explained. As far as I have understood, this spiritual pain is a blessing. Now, the question is, we have two types of reactions to this pain. One is acceptance, that as you said, that once we understand that this is a pain which is good for our survival, or it is a spiritual and good pain. So once we accept it, we don't do anything to eliminate this pain. The other option is we don't accept it and we immediately start working towards the elimination of this pain. So my question is, what should be our reaction? Like, there is more explanation. I mean, what I have understood that these pains and sufferings are also tests of human beings in this world. So once you understand that you are in the test, so it is good to accept it. And then, I mean, your levels and your darjat will be raised. But if you don't accept it, then, or if you accept it, you don't work towards its elimination. I hope I made my question clear. And may Allah bless you. Thank you.
Ahsantum. Thank you very much. First, there are two things. One is the pain. One is the cause of the pain. We have to stop the cause of pain, not stop the pain. So if there are people who are illiterate and I am sad, this sadness is good. I shouldn't stop my sadness, you know, superficially. I should try to help people to be literate. Then my sadness would stop. But if illiteracy is there and I just, you know, try to divert my attention to other things so that I'm not sad, this is not good. So what is important is to eradicate the cause of pain, number one. Number two, the cause of pain sometimes are fixed and sometimes are not fixed. For example, sometimes there is a child of mine who has a disease, and because of that disease, I suffer. This disease can be sometimes treated. I should not then accept it. I should try to find treatment, even if it takes time. I should, and inshallah, then my child is treated, my suffering stops. But if disease has no treatment, I have to accept it. And then I should see how I can channel my pain into the ways that I can help my child. Not just feel sorry, you know, why this has happened, you know, and, you know, waste my life, you know, with this. So pain has to be regulated. It's like water, but if you know you don't know how to drink water, it can suffocate you. Any pain, you have to regulate it and you have to channel it so that it becomes energy, it becomes, you know, passion and compassion. But if it becomes too much, it just be depressing. And you just sit and you don't do anything. For example, you know, we have pain for Imam Mahdi Jalallah Ta'ala Farajul Sharif not being with us. But what should I do with this pain? I should try to know Imam more, to work for my Imam, to connect to Imam, to educate people about Imam. With there is pain, but there is energy, there is activity. This is positive. But if it just I sit, you know, somewhere and just, you know, cry for Imam Zaman and do nothing and become hopeless and say until he comes, nothing we can do, this is not a good approach. Thank you for a good question.
Sagar, I cannot see any more raised hand. Do you allow me to raise one question from my end?
Bismillah.
So in the beginning, Agar, you beautifully mentioned about Imam Ali, that how he balanced between different values. So do you have any suggestion for us that how we will try to have balance in different values in our life?
Of course, we have to observe several, you know, things. For example, one way is to compare ourselves against the Quran. When we read about good qualities and bad qualities in the Quran, we should apply it to ourselves, compare it with ourselves. How much I have those qualities? How much I lack those qualities? Or, you know, when we read lives of imams, lives of ulama, lives of pious people, like pious mu'mineen, even in our own, you know, time, community, when we read their lives, we should compare. We shouldn't, you know, dismiss the chance that maybe I'm lacking many good qualities. Maybe I suffer bad qualities. So a mu'min is always busy with self-evaluation. A mu'min has to be critic of himself or herself. Not too much so that you become hopeless. Ya'as is not accepted in Islam. One of the major sins is al-ya'asu an rawhillah. If you become despaired, hopeless, no. But anything that makes you able to work more, not to be pleased with what you have and what you lack. Yes, you are grateful for what you have, but you are not pleased with the current degree and with what you lack. You have to always study and evaluate ourselves, but you need a list. The list in the Quran, the list in the Hadith, in the books of Akhlaq, in the biographies of, you know, our great scholars. And what is important is to move to that direction. We are not expected to be in today or next day, you know, like them, but we must to show that I am progressing. I am doing my best. I'm climbing the mountain. Maybe I'm not on the peak yet, but I am climbing. This is the main thing.
Asantum Agha. So I cannot see any more reason. Please conclude and make dua.
We end with dua Farad in this Jumu'ah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا وامن علينا برضاه وهب لنا رأفته ورحمته ودعاءه وخيره. Oh Allah, we ask you to forgive all our sins and mistakes and shortcomings, please. Please send your rahmah and maghfirah to all mu'mineen and mu'minat, especially those who have rights upon us. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. And please bless our parents who are alive with health and dignity and joy, and enable us to serve them. And those who have passed away, please be very kind and generous with them and reward them on our behalf without measure. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen.
Ahsantum.
Ahsantum. Thank you very much. May Allah bless all of you.
Fiyam Allah.
Fiyam Allah.